Our sermon text is from Hebrews chapter 7. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Similar to St. Mary, who received grace that she might bear the Christ child, so St. Joseph was chosen to be the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the foster father of our Savior, the protector of the Holy Family. Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married before there had been any appearance of the angels to them regarding this Christ child. Now, St. Joseph loved his betrothed wife, Mary, and awaited the appointed time in which he would take her to his home. But soon after that engagement, their plans were changed. They were changed by God's plans. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and brought her news that she had been chosen to bear the Christ child. Her answer, without hesitation, as she trusted in the word, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now we know that Mary, having been informed about her elderly relative Elizabeth, went to visit and to help her with her birth. Now, just exactly how Saint Joseph received the news of Mary's pregnancy is not known. I'd always assumed that Mary informed him right before she left. However, he says nothing. Joseph says nothing of the angel's words concerning how she became pregnant, that is, by the powerful life-imparting operation of the Holy Spirit. But the news must have devastated him, as it was a struggle within him about what he would or should do. Though he still loved her dearly, wished to be her husband, yet he was a righteous man, and he couldn't just overlook it and take her home as his wife. He had a conscience, and he desired to live according to the will of God. Thus he had two choices, either to divorce her publicly or quietly. Because of his kind-hearted love for her, he determined not to cause her shame, and, well, he would do it quietly. However, it was during this inner struggle that an angel tells him just exactly what he is to do and explains to him the situation. Do not fear. You see, he was hesitating concerning this. Do not fear, for this is what he was doing. He needs to take her home. Take her home to be his wife. The announcement concerning the virgin conception of the Holy Spirit, well, this is the first of its time. But that news doesn't faze Joseph at all. You see, after telling him that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, St. Joseph does exactly what the angel told him to do. St. Matthew also explains that this virginal conception and later birth explains it by immediately citing Isaiah 7, verse 14. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Couple unrelated thoughts. Isaiah 7:14. You see, it is surely a messianic prophecy. But the question is whether it was well known at the time of St. Joseph. That is, when he hears about the virgin birth, does he think the thoughts of this at the time or not? And also it is noted that when the angel tells Joseph that this is of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't say, "Who?" He does not even blink at the mention of the Holy Spirit. You see, the third person of the Trinity was already well known in the Old Testament times. Joseph was given a vocation. He's to be the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He is to adopt this Holy Spirit-conceived child, and to make it his own. and as the foster father, Joseph is to name the child. Nevertheless, he doesn't get to choose the name because the vocation of the child has already been determined. The child will be called Jesus, as the angel informs him. And so we see that both Mary and Joseph are given directions by God through an angel, and both of them willingly follow that divine command. In fact, every unworthy thought concerning Mary and Joseph is removed if you read the text. There's not even a subtle hint of reluctance, impropriety, or even regret. And so, this Emmanuel, this God with us, is reckoned as the child of Joseph. And the Savior's genealogy through Abraham, Judah, and then David would be reckoned not only according to Mary's line, but also according to Joseph's line. And in this visit, you might note that the angel calls him Joseph, son of David. This direct address has already made it clear that Joseph's genealogy is important for the adoption of this child. And it's quite interesting that Joseph's enemies, they mention Joseph as being the father as a put-down. They even mention his vocation as a carpenter. Jesus shouldn't know this stuff. He's the son of a carpenter. And Jesus' disciples refer to Jesus. They also mention Joseph. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." There is praise, not a put down. Based upon these references, and then we have others. We have others in which there are references to Jesus' brothers. And so it has been assumed, probably correctly, that Joseph was a bit older and had been married before, and thus these were stepbrothers. At the time of the crucifixion, Jesus entrusts his mother Mary to John, so we know that Joseph has already died. When did he die? Well, we don't know. Some suppose that Joseph's death could have been the reason or the perfect timing for Jesus then to leave the carpentry behind and begin his ministry and to be baptized by John. Joel 2:28 has often been cited in connection with the day of Pentecost, and rightly, but it also applies well here. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Joseph, the old man, is given a dream and he receives the Holy Spirit in great measure as he serves as that foster father of Jesus, spouse of the Virgin Mary, protector of the Holy Family. He brings them to Bethlehem, then rushes them off to Egypt, then back to Nazareth. Yes, he serves in his vocation as a godly husband and father. But what kind of child would this be? The divinely given name makes it clear. He is a savior of that which really matters. A savior of sin. He will, Matthew 1:21. "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Sins. The reference to his people is not John Calvin's teaching about limited atonement, as if for only believers, only for believers. The Savior's suffering and his death was a valid sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, as many other passages declare. But this reference is not about validity, it's about effectiveness. It's about the effectiveness of the sacrifice for those who believe. It's valid for all, but only those who believe will be saved from their sins. And so Joseph is a prince in David's line, chosen by God to do his vocation, and that is what he does. The Lord sanctified him in his faithfulness and meekness and chose him out of all men. God builds for Joseph a house. That is, he supplies him a wife and a child. And this house, well, is not a material house. It's a religious house. It's one that through God's Son, we receive the house of God, which will be established forever. And so this Joseph, in a world of feminism and absent fathers, we ought to hold him up. Hold him up as a godly, masculine man, one who follows the word and despite his unworthiness lives an exemplary life doing his vocation. And we see that under his early protection we receive a Savior, one who will at the right time die for the people. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The offertory is on page 18.